This is the Andy George Leadership Podcast. It's a podcast all about helping you to reach your potential, define your purpose, and to live with passion. I'm Andy George, your host, and I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments of your day and listening to this podcast. If you would, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. You can also journey over to YouTube to Andy George Leadership and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as visiting andygeorgecoaching.com for more information. I think you're really going to enjoy this podcast today, as I had an opportunity recently to sit down with Rachel Smith, who is the founder, executive director, and program director of an incredible organization called Oh Lord Help Us. For more information about Oh Lord Help Us, you can visit their website, ohlordhelp.us. Here now is my interview with Rachel Smith. Rachel Smith is the founder, executive director, and program director of Oh Lord Help Us.
Yes.
That's a lot of cool titles there. Founder, CEO, program director.
It's awesome. A lot of stuff. It's a lot of juggling.
So before we jump into Oh Lord Help Us, let's just talk about Rachel. So give us a little bit of a rundown of where you're from originally, how you ended up in Raleigh, if you want to share a little bit about your family, and just how you got here today.
So I am originally from Louisville, Kentucky.
All right.
That is where my husband and I met.
Excellent.
And we went from there to Atlanta, Georgia for him to go to grad school. From there, we went to Chicago, and we were there for 8 years.
Oh, man. Aren't you glad you aren't there now?
So
they're getting hammered with cold weather and snow.
Yes. So we were there for 8 years. Both of our boys were born there, and it was 8 years of hard.
Yeah.
It was a long, long season. So we were finally released from Chicago, and we moved to Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
And that's where my daughter was born. Excellent. We were there for 3 years, and then we came here. And
nice.
That's it.
And how long have you been here?
A little more than 2 years.
Okay, a little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And then, so my husband and I, we have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. And then right now we have a foster child who's in our home right now, who is 4 and a half.
Excellent. So what are the ages all in your household?
Almost 11.
Okay.
7, 4 and a half, 3 and a half.
Woo! So you got a fun household.
Yes, you could say that. The 3 and a half and the 4 and a half year old are.
Yeah. So how does that dynamic work? And my wife and I do foster care as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so kudos for that. That's awesome that you're doing it. You're opening up your home. So how does that dynamic work at the house with a, how does your 3-year-old handle, wait, who is this kid? Like all of a sudden there's somebody new introduced and they're three. So how's that been?
A challenge.
Yeah.
Honestly, she is possessive of her mom.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So she even gets possessive with her brothers.
Sure.
So now with another person who does take up a lot of my time, so there has definitely been some more neediness there. And so we've just tried to be intentional with our time with her. And
yeah, that's excellent. How long have you been doing foster care?
This is our first placement.
Oh, okay, excellent.
So he's been with us for 6 or 7 weeks now.
Okay.
But to get here has been a 5-year long journey because we went through this process in South Carolina.
Right.
And then found out that we were moving and had to start the process.
Oh, yeah.
All over again.
I know that process well.
Yes.
I know that process well.
It is not a quick process.
Yeah, it is not at all. But it's a good, thorough process. And so here you are, your first placement.
Yes.
All right, do you have, what kind of foster care are you doing? Are you doing open-ended age-wise, or do you have it kind of narrowed into the type of foster care?
4 and up.
Okay, 4 and up.
Yes.
Nice. With no end limit on the other side?
Well, not older than our oldest.
Okay,
so as long as it doesn't compete, you know, go over his age, then we're okay with that.
Wow. And is it open-ended as far as the foster care goes? You just know?
Yes, and that has been a hard thing with this, is that unknowing.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You know, we don't know if it's going to be 6 months that he's with us or for 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't know.
So what caused you and your husband to decide to do foster care? What was it that drove that passion to do that? Because it is a calling. It's not an easy thing. The process is long. Your heart is into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not an easy thing. So what drove that foster care?
Honestly, it started at the church we were going to in South Carolina. They did a... service on sanctity of life.
Uh-huh.
And it was all about valuing life from the unborn to the elderly.
Right.
And they showed a video of the Dropbox babies in Korea,
right,
where you can put your unwanted babies in what looks like a mailbox.
Right.
And it just struck a chord in me. And we have to do this.
Yep.
So we were driving home from church, and my husband says, "What are you thinking about?" Probably thinking, you know, like, what am I going to have for lunch?
Right.
And I said,
you know. Yeah, church is over. We're hungry. What are you thinking?
And we need to do foster care. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, you're like, so. I was thinking Chick-fil-A, but, you know.
So, and that just started the journey of seeking,
yeah,
of, you know, talking with other people who had done that to gain,
right,
information. And it was just one step after another until,
yeah,
oh, here we are.
Yeah.
We're in it.
Wow. So that is awesome. Way to go. So what came first? Oh, Lord, help us, or this desire to do foster care?
I would honestly say it probably all came around at the same,
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Yes. That was growing in us, and we were pursuing that. And then on the side, I had this little hobby blog that,
okay,
I was doing,
yeah,
that we called Oh Lord Help Us.
Yeah.
And so it started out as a mom blog.
Right.
Which is way different from that now.
Oh, yeah. So real quickly, if you're watching this on Facebook, you'll see the link to Oh Lord Help Us on there. If you're listening to this or on YouTube, there's probably also links as well. But you can also go to ohlordhelpus.us. for the website of how all that works.
Mm-hmm.
And but let's talk about Oh Lord Help Us. So,
okay,
what is it? What is Oh Lord Help Us?
It is a ministry focused on mentoring the woman who feels broken and messy,
okay,
who feels unsure and that she doesn't belong.
Hmm.
There are a lot of women who desire to have a relationship with the Lord, but maybe do not feel comfortable going to church,
right,
or don't feel like they can be honest in church.
Yeah. So what do you think is driving that in women? What do you think that root cause of that is?
A lot of pressure that's put on, you know, you could blame that on society.
Right.
A lot of it honestly comes from other women,
hmm,
making comments that, you know, maybe they're not trying to be judgmental,
right,
but that's how it's internalized.
Sure.
And so we quickly learn this, oh, I can't be honest about that because,
right,
now I know how that person feels. And,
yeah,
so we fear that being rejected, probably.
Right. Yeah. So typically everything that we're passionate about or start, it stems internal to some point first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you were just looking around going, oh, look at all these other people that are dealing with stuff. So what in your life drove you to want to start this? You don't have to get overly personal, but where was that birthed out of, this whole desire?
Throughout my life, I love to hear people's stories.
Okay.
And to allow them a space to be honest, because,
mm-hmm,
I do have a tendency to be judgmental and to hold,
okay,
opinions. And I've learned that if I can listen to their story,
yeah,
that now my opinion has changed. And so as I was writing this blog and listening to women's stories, I started to realize that, oh, a lot of the same stuff that I'm dealing with that I don't feel like I can be open about,
uh-huh,
is actually what other women are dealing with too.
Gotcha.
And so I finally just was free of those chains of,
mm-hmm,
of fearing rejection and,
right,
fearing that, you know, condemnation, and,
yeah,
said, you know what? I am loved by God, and I can be honest because my worth is found in Him.
Right. So when you started writing the blog, early on, was it called Oh Lord Help Us, or were you just writing a blog and posting it on some other site?
No, Lord Help Us.
And were, mm-hmm, you were writing that just to put all the pieces together. You were writing that because of what you were personally going through as well?
Well, it started out as just a way to encourage other moms.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then I realized that my heart was really in the faith component of it, that I,
right,
wanted to encourage women in their walk of, in their faith.
Gotcha.
And so we did a rebrand and got rid of the mom stuff and focused solely on the faith component.
So if you had to summarize, Oh Lord, Help Us Now, what avenues are there in this? So there's a bunch of different ways that Oh Lord, Help Us is ministering. So,
So
give us kind of a breakdown of what you have that you're offering and really the need you're trying to fill with each of those pieces.
We have an online devotional that is written by a team of women, who, like myself, have gone through this journey of feeling broken and experiencing God's redemption and the beauty that comes from that. And so everything is written from a very just raw, honest, vulnerable state. Mm-hmm. So we are in it with the women who are reading it. We're not...
Gotcha.
We do not have it all figured out.
Right.
So we have this online devotional, and then there is a shop of items that serve as reminders of what God's truth is for our lives. We are so bombarded with lies throughout our day-to-day life that this is our way to bombard women with truth.
So you mentioned that. So what are some of the lies that you feel women are dealing with every day?
That lie that we're not lovable.
Okay.
That we can run away from our problems.
Mm.
That nothing good could ever come from our brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
That nothing good could ever come from our messes. And that we just have to strive to be accepted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's strong. So as you're writing this blog out and you have guest bloggers that are writing with you, are those anonymous people or are they, they're just open and out there, right?
Yeah. So we have a team who writes, you know, on a schedule, and then we have some guest posts as well that are other bloggers who will come on, but
And you mentioned reminders. And so what are those reminders again? So you have the blog, which is pretty straightforward. That's pretty awesome. And then you said there's some other reminders that you have.
So that's the shop items. Yes.
And so what's in the shop items?
There are shirts and bags, mugs, and
so
jewelry.
Merchandise,
stuff like,
okay.
Yes,
good.
And it all, they either have words or symbolism.
Are you wearing some of that at
well,
the moment?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, well, look at that. Look at that.
So these are our hope earrings.
Okay.
And they have 40 strands hanging down because in the Bible, 40 represents periods of trial.
Wow. Okay.
And so then from the scripture that trials produce perseverance, I'm going to butcher it. Anyways, it leads to hope.
Yeah.
Trials lead to hope.
That's right.
So I'm not even going to try to pretend that I know what that is.
So those earrings have 40 strands representing the trials. That's
that
fascinating.
That produces hope.
Very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So so you got shirts on there and jewelry and all those things there.
Yes.
Very nice. So is that the end of it? So there's
so
more, right?
Then, yes. So we have an outreach component of our ministry that's called Broken to Beautiful, and that's where we can go into other groups and share God's redemption story with them. Mm-hmm. And then we have a program called Hope and Vine.
Oh, there it is. Look at you. You are branded.
So
Hope and Vine.
Hope
so back
and
up,
Vine.
Before we talk about that, back a second. So what do you mean you go into areas and encourage and talk? What does that look like? How's that actually work?
So we could go into like a women's group and we would have a speaker, and then there's an activity that we do where we take broken pieces of jewelry and create new pieces of jewelry.
Gotcha. So this could be in small groups. It could be in just in the community groups or wherever you're invited. And you keep saying we. So who's
oh,
we?
Oh, yes. Who's so we? That is – there's a big we.
Okay.
This yes. I did not want this to be the Rachel show. And so the Lord revealed to me, like, yes, you got to do this with a team. There is no way.
So you have a team of women who are trained and equipped. And
just have a heart for to be present where God is working.
Yeah. So we're going to get in a moment, because I know people are probably thinking that, well, how do we bring you in and how do you come in a small group? So we'll kind of save that to the end about how people can get in contact and serve and do all part of that. And so you have you have the blog. You've got the merchandise as reminders.
Yes.
Now you've got a group of women who will go into environments and share and all that, and you got an illustrated kind of an illustrated message, basically, or example object thing. That's pretty awesome. And then you mentioned another thing after that. So what's that?
So that was Hope and Vine.
Hope and Vine is the t-shirt.
So
Hope and Vine.
That is our program that mentors and employs young ladies who are aging out of foster care.
Wow. Okay. So there's the connection there again.
Yes.
Wow. So talk about that. That's very fascinating.
So we are still very much in the foundation building stage of that, but it is, they would be employed as artisans. So they would actually be creating the items that are being sold in our shop.
Right.
And alongside that, while they're working, and then also outside of their work environment, we are intentionally walking alongside of them, listening to them, and allowing them to heal. I mean, you don't get through the foster care system without trauma. Yeah. You just, that's, it just is part of it. So
I think maybe a lot of people don't watch the ending of the foster care stuff. So yeah, because kids are in foster care. We do infant foster care. You all are doing 4 to 11. Mm-hmm. And then there's foster care for teenagers. But what happens at, was it age 18? Is that what it is, or is it?
So it's technically they age out at 18.
Yeah.
And then there is a program here in Wake County that goes 18 to 21.
Gotcha.
But they have to sign themselves back up for that.
So at age 18, if you've been in foster care your whole life, you're just kind of, what do you do next? So that is powerful.
So that's powerful. That group, I mean, they are at a high risk of homelessness, a lot of them, because where do they go?
Yeah.
Their foster family, you know, if their foster family doesn't allow them to stay,
or
even if they do get a scholarship and they go away to school, where do they go on break?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it, we just don't
think about
it. Yeah,
they're on their own. They're totally on their own at that point.
Yes. So, and then some of them end up incarcerated. Some of them end up being exploited by human trafficking.
Right.
So it's a very neglected group.
Yeah, it's definitely a group, because you're right. In foster care, there's so much emphasis on kids and reunification and, you know, on all that foster care language. But, yeah, when they get older, I'll to be honest, I've never thought about that. Like, I've never thought about what happens to an 18-year-old once that's been in foster care their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people think about that. So what caused you to think about that? Like, what? I'm sure it was the Lord that somehow did that, but was there something as you're watching stuff unfold that just triggered that said, this is something that needs to be done?
When we were going through our foster care training here in Wake County, they talked about that program and just that need. And when you're going through foster care training, they really harp on the teenagers because there's such a need. And so my husband and I felt so burdened for that group, but didn't feel that we were in a position that we could bring them into our home at this point.
Sure.
And so, so it was just that burden there. And then the need within the ministry of, I need help making this stuff. And then it was just the Lord revealing, have them, hire them, walk alongside them to do this.
Yeah. And so it's not only hiring them, which is giving them work experience for resumes and for future, but you said also mentoring.
Yes.
So how does that work? How's the mentor, or how will it work if you're not?
Right.
So tell us where you are in the process now, because I know that you're just beginning it. So where are you? Is it, you got a t-shirt and a dream, or is it one step from there? Like, where are you in the process?
We're a little more beyond that.
Hey, wait. Hey, you got a t-shirt, so you're like already there. That's good.
So we have our guidelines in place.
Wonderful.
We have our team in place.
Oh, wow. Team meaning mentors or the people that will help them, or both?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So we have partnered with other local organizations. So we're connected with DSS.
Oh, yeah.
And we are training the mentors. That's something that we're doing. And we have staff in place.
Okay.
We've got, you know, we have the work ready to go for them to do. So all of that is lined up.
Excellent.
But where we are stuck at is location. We need a place for them to work. We thought that we had that worked out, and I actually just found out Monday that it fell through.
Well, maybe there's a reason why you're on here on Wednesday.
So that is...
So if you got a place, get in contact.
Yeah, we definitely need a location.
So share that. What are you looking for in a location? What does it have to have?
It needs to be safe.
Right.
I mean, a lot of... That's first and foremost, everything with this population, they don't know stability. They need security and stability. It needs to be big enough that we can have some tables that we can work at.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a huge space.
Gotcha.
Just a couple tables and, you know, a place that we can store boxes of stuff.
Right.
Part of our heart is to be able to hire young ladies who are already parenting, because foster care is often generational.
Mm-hmm.
And for those youth in foster care who are already parenting, more than half of those kids will end up in foster care before they're two. So we really want to break that cycle.
Wow.
So if we could have a location that was either that we could connect with an existing daycare or that had space available so that we could have daycare, that would be bonus.
Gotcha.
So that's not like a requirement, but that would be
nice. Yeah. So are you looking, is it basically Monday through Friday during work hours kind of thing?
20 hours a week.
Okay.
And then, and you had asked me about what does the mentoring look like. So
right.
through the program, it's not an unending thing. It's a
it's
a minimum of 3 months, and then it goes up to 2 years.
Gotcha.
And so they have to meet certain requirements through that time.
So the young ladies 18 and older that are coming to work, is it also part of their requirement that they also are getting mentored?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a minimum of 3 months and a maximum of 2 years.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow, that's powerful. That's really awesome. So I want to talk about your mission and vision from your website.
Mm, okay.
I really liked it. I have some notes. I actually wrote it down. I'm going to read it and then just unpack it for us a little bit.
Okay.
So here's what it says. We believe everyone is uniquely created with value and designed to live with purpose. Our circumstances do not determine our future. We are defined by our redemption, not our past.
Hmm.
You may hear that in a sermon sometime. And I may or may not give you credit. That is awesome. I love that. So unpack that a little bit for me, where that came from. That's powerful. I mean, if you read that and you're not a little bit, like, get some goosebumps on that one, you know, that's pretty powerful. So talk about that.
Okay. So, you know, for many years, I tried to fix all of my weaknesses.
Hmm.
And I realized that, you know, God created me with my strengths. And those can glorify him, but he also created me with my weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
and those can glorify him too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can celebrate our weaknesses, because where we are weak, someone else is strong,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have to do it all or be it all.
Right.
And so if we can focus on our strengths and encourage other people in their strengths, then we can come together, and that's the body of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a beautiful
thing. So take that mission and vision, and I asked you a little bit ahead of time to think about maybe a story or so. So do you have a story, and obviously you got to be careful confidentiality-wise, but do you have a story that you can share where you saw that mission and vision, that somebody realized they were uniquely created, they had value, they were designed for purpose, right? They don't have to live in their past. Do you have a story? Obviously, you're probably the story, right? But do you have another story of somebody that you could share where that you saw that unfold through doing this?
Well, I think there have been several women I've come in contact with that have a history of abuse.
Hmm.
I got an email a couple of weeks ago from a lady in the UK, so that was pretty cool. And she was like, I love what you're doing. I am the messy woman. So, so I don't know her story,
but
it was just so encouraging. Okay. Like,
So it's reaching.
People, yes, it's resonating, but I know I've met, I mean, eating disorders and abuse and addictions and all of that. I mean, it's, we all, even though our stories aren't all the same, like we all come from this place of just brokenness.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier that is still ringing in my mind. I think because Super Bowl weekend is coming up. I think I read a statistic recently that said that Super Bowl weekend is one of the highest sex trafficking weekends of the year. Can you speak into that a little bit? Because you mentioned how to rescuing that, and just speaking that a little bit. Because I think people, and once again, I'm guilty of it too, where you hear sex trafficking, you think, well, that's a problem in overseas somewhere, or that's a problem in Central America or Mexico. You don't think that it's a problem in Raleigh, but it is.
Oh, it is. I think North Carolina is like number five.
Yeah.
In the country of the highest incidence of it.
And so you don't even, at least once again, maybe it's just me, but you hear sex trafficking and you hear that. Now, we can get our mind around, unfortunately, we can get our mind around abuse and homelessness and foster. We see that. You don't see sex trafficking because it's sex trafficking. You don't see that.
Right.
Yet the weekend, this weekend's one of the biggest ones, Super Weekend, and it's a real thing. You said North Carolina is the fourth?
Fifth. I believe that's what I've heard.
So what? I mean, what do you do with that? You know,
you got to get your head out of the sand first of all. I think that awareness of it is the start, but you can't stop there.
Yeah,
I honestly have just gotten my head out of the sand, probably in the past 6 months.
Yeah,
because it was too uncomfortable for me to really talk about or think about. Yeah. And so, but in my desire to hear women's stories, I, over the last 6 months, have met three different women who are survivors of either slavery or human trafficking.
Wow.
And to hear their story, I mean, it's not over there.
Yeah.
It's right here. There are people, you probably already know someone you know, so I think all of us probably do, you know, it's just that we don't, it's not openly talked. You don't walk around with, I'm a, you know, so I think it's just starting with awareness, but I know I can't speak much into it. I don't know much other than just what I've learned through these three different women, but I know that foster care can lead to that so easily because these kids throughout their life have just moved from home to home. And, you know, then at some point they're going to learn that their foster families are getting money for them staying there. Oh, well now that's all I am is a transaction.
That's right.
And so it just primes them for that type of mentality.
Yeah. Well, what a wonderful ministry you have that is lending itself to not only the emotional healing and, you know, your mission statement there, right? Purpose and value, but also gives that open invitation to start helping in all these other areas as well. So we only got literally like a minute left, but we might, it goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does.
So, okay, we just talked about it. It's powerful. You sold us all on it, right? Now that you have to sell us on it, it's an amazing ministry. So people who are watching now or listening or rewatching this, how can somebody get involved? And what ways can they get involved?
Well, I mean, you can definitely connect with us on any social media. Okay. You can just search for O Lord Help Us or check out our website, olordhelp.us.
Yep.
And then, you know, one of the things that we need right now, honestly, is funding. Because we don't want to hire these girls and not, we want to be able to know that we will be able to pay them for at least a year.
Gotcha.
So that we can provide that security and stability. Yep. And so that's part of this, where we're trying to build this up. So that would be a great way to partner with people.
Yeah. And all that is at olordhelp.us.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it right. olordhelp.us. And so if you go to that site, you'll be able to see how to volunteer and how to give and all those buttons up there. Excellent. Well, Rachel, thank you for being on here. This was fascinating. Not only have I kind of learned, you kind of said, get your head out of the sand. I'm going, right here. Like, you know, because you get so close to just what you're doing. And you're right. How many people do we meet who probably are affected by things that we don't even know? So thank you for doing this ministry. Thank you for your organization. We'll be praying for you. And
thank you.
And believe God's got great things in store for you. So thanks again, Rachel, for being here. Thank you for watching here on Facebook or listening on a podcast or at YouTube. And make sure that you are following us and follow Rachel.